Hey everybody, welcome to Making Sense of It All with Jesse Stakes. My guest this week is Delana Baker, and she is the founder of the Social Media Study Hall. I'm looking forward to you hearing what she has to say because I think she's providing an incredible resource, and I think there's a lot of people like me that are out there that would benefit from what she has to offer. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Delana Baker. Let's jump right into it. Delana, thank you so much for joining me.
I am so excited to be here, Jesse. Thank you so very much for having me on this beautiful day.
So I know it's fairly new, but tell us, what is the Social Media Study Hall?
Oh, I feel like there's blood, sweat, tears, tequila, all the things involved in that. One of the things going back to with social media, when I started 10 years ago, I was just lonely all the time. I didn't have any resources. I didn't have anybody to learn from. It was all picked apart and there really wasn't any community. And I'm really big on community. I'm extroverted. So instead of trying to fit into all these different little pieces and parts of communities, I was like, I'm just going to build one myself. So that's what Social Media Study Hall is. It's a membership. It will be a membership, a monthly membership, where content creators, social media managers, anybody in the social media sort of, they're using it for their profession, PR reps, marketing agencies, basically everything that I do in my trainings, I feel like I'm repeating over and over again. So I just developed that into one big membership so we could all collaborate and become this one big, beautiful community.
You know, it's funny. I was having this conversation this morning, actually. A lot of people use social media, and it's just like a lot of people play golf or a lot of people bowl or, you know, any of those things. But it doesn't mean that people do it well, or it doesn't mean that they even know how to do it. They can enjoy it, or they can kind of touch it and say they're on it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they do it well and that they actually are getting out of it what they truly can. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely agree with you. That's a good point. And that's one of the things too, when people go to marketing people, they think, oh, can you do my social media too? But there is such a different expertise with it that goes along with it. So that's why marketing agencies, PR people, they come to me and go, hey, can you help me? Like, I really need to provide the service for my clients. And I'm like, great, no problem. Let's do it. Let's help all the people. So with that, it you're right. I mean, just because they do it doesn't mean they're doing it well. So I think that's a great analogy too.
Well, I just think it's just like anything that's, I mean, because people look at it as free. They think, oh, I can jump on, you know, whatever the platform is. I'm not trying to single out one of them because there's so many of these days, but people think they can just jump on it. It's free. And they don't like, there's no barriers to entry. So they just think, oh, this is easy, but it's not. I mean, I think people are starting to realize that there's a lot more to it. And I guess that's where I wanted to kind of start with you is just how did this become a thing for you? How was it that you became inspired enough to where not only have you taken the time to become an expert with these things, but it's your passion. It's what you do every day.
Yeah, I fell into it. So I wouldn't say I was one of those, I know I'm going to be an entrepreneur and this is my thing. I mean, I'm at the age where, you know, when I was in high school and college, like there was the internet wasn't really a thing. I mean, it was a thing, but it wasn't anything we had. It wasn't something used obviously regularly. So when I was in school, I wanted to be a writer. That was all I wanted to do. I loved doing it. It was a hobby, a passion, all of those things. And then when I stayed at home with my babies, I was a freelance. I kind of was a ghostwriter for mommy bloggers at the time when sort of mommy blogs were becoming a thing. Instagram was still sort of a filtered photo, you know, reel, if you will. And Facebook didn't even really have business pages or groups at that point. But they would come to me and say, hey, I love this post, but I want to put it on my Facebook. Can you write my Facebook post too? And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what you mean. But I started to dig in with it and really started to see how things were starting to connect. And then 10 years ago, it even developed even more than me just writing the posts and sending it to them. Then it was managing it. And then I learned from an agency I worked with, like, this is a job. Like, this is a job. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, I can get paid to chill on social media. Like, all that. Like, that's pretty cool. And then that was where the mentality you were talking about, like, oh, this is so easy. It wasn't. So I had to dive in and learn as much as I could. I took the courses. At the time, Amy Porterfield had just started sort of a Facebook, sort of marketing podcast. And I started listening to that and just dove in and soaked up all of the information I possibly could. And then learned about more of the psychology behind marketing and the psychology behind social media. And I think that helped sort of really grow my mindset behind the clients that I was helping, that it wasn't just posting to post. It wasn't just getting the content up there. There's a lot more to it. And so to your point, yeah, people think it's so easy. And there's times where people say, oh, I'll have my cousin's neighbor's daughter's best friend do it. I'll just have
Right.
her post a few things on Instagram. So that was kind of a battle, which I hope I'm educating, using my platform and LinkedIn with content creation, that we're curbing that sort of mentality, because there is a whole lot more behind it. It's more than just a job. It's now a team of social media people that people usually need. So it's definitely progressed, and that's how I dove into it. Started out as a writer, and here I am. Started at the bottom, now I'm here.
Nice. Well, and to your point, it really is, it's an industry. Like, I think that people don't, like you said, people look at it as a platform and they think I'll just have, I'll just post to it. But there's an industry, and these businesses have teams behind them, and they have, to even to yourself. I mean, there's people that now people are tapping as experts and saying, how can I drive my business? Do you, one of the things I think about is there's a lot of businesses out there that were established, whether they were, financial businesses, businesses like a Walmart even, or things that where they thought, okay, this is a fad, or this is something that is not something that we want to get into because maybe they felt like there was risk involved. And now I think, when you people talk about early adopters and late adopters, and all those in between, but I think you have everybody realizing that right now, this isn't a fad. This is something that has been established. It is a marketplace unto itself. It is driving traffic to businesses. Do you feel like, I guess the question where I'm going is do you feel like there are any businesses that are still late to the party, or that are still away from it? Or do you feel like everybody that's doing business is a potential customer, or potentially, that needs help, needs coaching, needs advice when it comes to social media?
That's a great question. That's a loaded question. That's a big question, my friend.
Take your time.
The first thing I would say, obviously people, I think if you look at the consumer side, so when people are looking for, they want to solidify a service that they're gonna go with, a product they're gonna buy, you're gonna go to social media. It pops up. It's that sort of SEO component and that search engine optimization, if any of your listeners are confused about any acronyms on that. Social media is embedded into that. So with websites and Google and even people using Bing, yes, they still do. All of those things, I think with social media, it's sort of that's how people are searching. That's how they get their information. That's how they get influenced, if you will. And influencers is a different topic. One question I will say that kind of comes off of what you asked was, I do get a lot of, well, does every single business need to be on social media? And this is, again, loaded. I think yes. I think they do need to be on social media and have at least a presence. I do, but there's also what kind of presence do you work with that? And I'll give this example. So I do consult a lot of realtors in the industry, and they maybe they're old school necessarily. They're on a handshake and relationship based when it comes to building their business. Now, with that, I wouldn't say that this, 55-year-old guy who's been in the industry for 30 years needs to jump on social media, because that's not how he built his business. Now, the brokerage firm that he works for, or if maybe it's his own brokerage that he has, yes, that needs to have a presence, because they're building, that's for, bringing in new recruits, people, new realtors, people that want to work with that company, what differentiates them. I do agree with that. So, but that person that's building their business, I wouldn't necessarily jump on that. But again, that's a small margin. So on the other side of it, yes, I think you need to have some sort of presence, because that's where people are looking for information. And people who, oh, I don't like influencers. I don't get influenced. I don't know. I guarantee you 90% of the things you're buying, whether it's from Amazon, whether it's from Walmart, whether it's from Target, all of those things, you're seeing other people use them on social media, whether it's an ad or not. You
Sure.
are influenced, and the majority of that comes from social media. So whether that's product-based or it's a service-based, people are being influenced by social media, as much as they poo-poo it and say that it's not something, oh, I'm not about that. They are. It is. It's ingrained into our society. It is what it is. So I do believe, back to your question, people should. They absolutely should have a presence on social media and rely on experts. And if they can, if the budget is there and allows for it, get a team behind you. Because talking about the team, you need the strategist, the one that's really good at bringing all of the different pieces of your sales cycle together into your social media strategy. Because social media shouldn't just be your only sales thing, and that's different topic. But then you've got a content creator, you've got videographers, you've got all those things. If you can invest in that and having all these people of a team for social media, you will get the ROI from it. And that is a big challenge for a lot of smaller businesses. They don't see the ROI behind it. They don't see that brand awareness is something that's bringing money in for them. So because you can't convert it, you can't look at a number and say, I know that this person came because they saw my reel on Instagram, unless they
Right.
verbally tell you that. So the ROI is definitely a little confusing and can be still a little bit muddy when it comes to that. But for brand awareness purposes, 100%, again, longest answer ever, but yes.
Well, but I feel like that whole thing brings us back to what you are establishing with Social Media Study Hall, because there's a lot of people that are listening to this that are like me, to where when I hear you, I know that you know what you're talking about, but it sounds like a lot to me. It sounds like, it sounds like scaling a mountain. It sounds intimidating. And so Social Media Study Hall is putting a lot of these things at their fingertips, or giving them access to experts that they maybe didn't even know before accessing the content and accessing what you're offering.
Yes, and I appreciate that support on that, because you're correct. And this is going to be my dream, is to fill it with experts, advanced, people who are beginners. I want to be able to learn from each other and have them in that same environment and room to have that sort of collaborative conversation. Because I also don't believe in competition. I believe in collaboration. I collaborate with a lot of different social media agencies and social media people just like me, and I feel like we learn from each other, and we can only help more people, whether that's to help them with social media and understanding it and how to utilize it for their business. Or is it to help another social media manager with that brand they're working on? Or is it to help a certain client? So there's so many different facets of how social media experts can help people. And I love collaborating with them. I'm always welcomed for coffee, lunch, all those things. I just enjoy it because I feel like I learn and then they learn from me as well. And that's what it's about, community, to be
No
honest.
doubt. One of the most successful business people that I know one time told me, if you want to fail, try to go it alone. Everybody needs help.
I got goosebumps. I love that. That's exactly. And I think the first, 7 or 8 years that I did it, I was very alone. And on top of that, being an entrepreneur, one that I didn't necessarily expect to land in that role. It wasn't something I had sought out to do or didn't know if I was even good at. That was lonely as well. And that's why I'm invested in a business coach. That's a different story. But yeah, I it's a lonely road. And so I don't want anybody to feel left out. When I took a strengths and weakness test for one of the agencies that I worked for, it was funny because my strength was inclusivity. And that was one that the team had not ever seen that be the strongest, indicator of what that person is about. So I'm like that. I want everybody to be involved. If I'm standing there in a circle in a room at a networking event, I'm an extrovert. So I will bring them into the conversation. I will, I don't want anybody to feel alone. I don't want anybody to feel left out. And I think that's why my heart is so passionate about this social media study hall, because I want everybody to feel like they're welcome in this environment to learn and not feel intimidated about asking a somewhat silly or a beginner question. And that's what I know that this will be.
So, forgive me if this is ignorant or if I'm not painting the right picture here, but something I'm envisioning as you're talking is it's almost like what Angie's List did for home improvement, or did for people's access to experts when it comes to home improvement. Would that be a fair comparison in a way?
I would say that could be potentially a component of it. I wouldn't say that's the nest
Right.
of it. But with Social Media Study Hall, it will be people that join. There'll be different sections in there. They'll have live Q&As that we're going to do, and I'm going to bring experts in. For the most part, in the beginning, it'll be me. And then once we grow, and these people that are more interested in helping more people, we'll bring those in. There will be different sections of your different levels or your different line of business, whether we're going to have a section for realtors, we're going to have a section for business, B2B people, B2C. All of that will be in there. So it'll be a little, small to begin with, and then we'll grow according to the audience and what they want. But I think the Angie's List portion of it could be down the road more of a directory of, if you're
Okay.
looking for a social media manager, that could definitely be a component of it. So I do like that idea.
Well, and then so there's a lot of education to this then. I mean, it's really going to be for that person who is lost, or if they just admit they don't know where they're going, this is going to be a great way for them to learn, a great way for them to gain some extra expertise around social media and just really strengthening their online presence.
I mean, there's so much with social media. I mean, it changes every day. And I candidly, vulnerability here, I see something pop up and I'm like, well, how do you do that? What's the button for that? I find myself, because it's changing every day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no idea that LinkedIn could do that. And I feel like I'm a really well-versed LinkedIn social media person. So I see things, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know you could do that. Same with Instagram, all the other social media platforms, because there's a myriad of them. But it'll like whoa, and then I have to look it up, go down a rabbit hole, and figure out how I'm going to teach my people, the people I consult with, how can they take this new sort of thing, if you will, and transfer it into building it into their strategies and utilizing it for social media. So I like to be sort of that catalyst to get that information. But yeah, I learn something new probably every day, every other day about social media.
That's amazing. I think it's just like I was saying earlier, the conversations that I have around it, I hear people's feedback, I hear people talk about it from a business perspective or even from a consumer perspective. And one of the things that I have heard a lot lately is that a lot of these platforms have become so full of noise, if you will, or, targeted ads and not much content, or they feel like they're like, oh, it's not the same as what it used to be. And they feel like it's just become kind of a space where they're just, essentially being hit with billboard after billboard. What would you say to that? What would you say? Do you think that that's a fair criticism, or do you think that that is, part of the algorithm, whatever, whatever it is that they're, but I've heard many people say that lately.
Yeah, I see the frustration behind it, and people do come to me. I will say, your LinkedIn feed, when you mentioned the word algorithm, so when you're looking at any of your social media platform algorithms, it's how you are acting on the platform. So, for example, if you're seeing a bunch of ads for certain things, your ads are built into what you are looking at on the internet. When you say accept all cookies and you're on all these different websites, it thinks that you want to know more about this information. So you are hit with a bunch of ads. Now, the amount of ads, you can control that on certain platforms. You can control your settings for those ads. But again, back to my point with being influenced. I love the ads because I feel like I learn about new products. I learn about new services in my area and all that. So I have a different perspective on it. Obviously, too, I'm biased because of the business that I'm in.
Sure.
See where my friends are frustrated with it. But again, you can change your settings with that. And oh, it's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to be. The world isn't like we're used to, like it used to be. Social media is going to change with that, whether it's, the big bad over here or the good over here. So that in between, I'm not sure how to get to that point, but I definitely see the frustrations. But you can control quite a bit of it. You can with settings and also, this is another thing too. People say, oh, it's just all bad stuff that I see on the internet. Well, then change
Right.
your feed. Start following things that are positive, like start to follow things that are motivational, start to engage with that kind of content. And that's what you're going to start to see because it's your interaction with that platform. I would see a lot of, as a female, I would see things, these influencers and they're just these Photoshop. And I would get a lot of that. And I was really starting to feel really down about myself when shopping for jeans. So I was like, wait a minute. So I eliminated that on my social media feed. I eliminated that on my Instagram. I stayed within the positive. I see things like Mel Robbins and Jake Klaus and Amy Porterfield. Those things fill me up, and those fill my like cup, if you will, for positivity. And so I feel excited when I go on social media now. Same with Facebook. If there's like a lot of negative people in my Facebook feed, I hide them. I don't want to see that negativity. And that's just a path in their life they're going through, and it can be negative and it hits me, and I don't want to feel that way. So you can control that a lot of how you are interacting with the platform.
Well, and I think what you just said is key. It's learning. That's where the ignorance or just lack of understanding when it comes to how to control the platform. Some people are just jumping on it, looking at it at face value, but then when they're getting, like you said, it's kind of a mirror for what you're looking at on the internet or what you're looking at on those platforms. But it's a distorted mirror because you're getting ads based on what you're looking at, but those ads are also going to take advantage of what you're looking at or try to play off of, okay, these people, to your point, women in fashion, they may try to play on women's insecurities to sell their products, and but it does match those search results. But another topic for another day.
Right. That is a beefy one. That's a big one. That's a big topic.
So where do you see things going? Like when I, you know, and I don't mean to ask a huge broad question again, but as far as, you know, short term right now in the United States, you've got, you know, from a political standpoint, social media has been a huge talk because of things like TikTok. And then also as far as, you know, in the state of Florida, which we both live in the state of Florida, you've got things like the governor talking about, you know, potentially eliminating the availability or the access of younger folks to social media platforms. I do get the point, but I also think it's just fraught with, you know, with a lot of different opinions, and you're going to have different arguments for all sides of the for that issue. But where do you see things going in the short term as far as the future of these platforms, the future of social media?
I'll touch on TikTok definitely because that's the high that's sort of the one that's at the top of everybody's quote unquote news feed. What if it were to shut down? What if? Like we can talk about the what ifs all day, right? You can what if yourself to death, as my therapist would say. With that, I think now I will say this: I have 177,000 followers on TikTok, so I would say like if that happened, I would not be heartbroken. But again, I don't make a living off of it. It's not something that, so I understand the fear of that people have built businesses around, this tool. I know that a bunch of them will jump onto Reels, though. They're going to go into Instagram and they're going to jump on that too. So I really, and when it comes to like the political thing, I do a lot of research and I haven't done as much to be able to speak on it necessarily in a pragmatic way, if you will.
Sure.
And it's touchy because you don't want to, you've got beliefs over here and beliefs over here and all of those different things, especially with the kiddos situation as well. I have four kids, so social media is an active part of their life. They're older, and the parents' decision whether or not to let them have social media versus the government saying that you can't have social media. I think that is sort of a just a really that's a touchy topic that can be. Depending on what everybody's beliefs in. So I'm not as educated into that part of it as I probably should be. I think I steer away from it because it gets upsetting for me. But as for a social media person, I know social media isn't going away. It's not going away. It's going to advance and ebb and flow. And if something like TikTok were to go away, I think we'll compensate and use something else, or something else will be built, not just TikTok. They'll decide to build something else. So I think that will always be there. And that's sort of, I guess, my answer for that, if that's.
No, I think it's fair. I mean, I think that it's just like anything. I believe if one brand disappears, another brand takes its place. Or if somebody doesn't service their market well, then something pops up competitively and take services the market that they're not. I think that that's the beauty of our free market economy is that there is that opportunity for people to do so. I think the biggest thing, and it, you know, I wouldn't call myself educated on it either, but you know, the biggest thing that, you know, at least the big bad wolf in the room that people talk about is that we have a foreign government potentially utilizing a platform to gain information about American citizens. I don't think anybody would say that's good. I don't think anybody would be attracted to that. But I also believe that just like anything, I mean, our media feeds us what they want us to hear. They fuel a lot of people's anger. They fuel a lot of people's emotions. And I don't feel like we get necessarily a straightforward answer on much anymore in this world.
I agree.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about, because I feel like it's incredibly topical right now, is AI and how AI is being utilized in the social media world.
I am an AI obsessed human. I saw it coming a while ago. I got to be a beta tester on one of these sort of copywriting AI groups, and I saw, I'm like, this is going to change. This is going to be a game changer. And this is about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I think the sort of education portion of it is we've been using AI and people just didn't know it. But now we as consumers have access to these tools to be able to help our lives better, not just the products and services that we're buying. For example, email softwares. If you have a customer relation management system, a CRM, or an ESP, an email service provider that you're utilizing, when you're building automations and things like that, that's AI. It's an if this, then that. And it's training and it knows. So there's a lot of AI built into your world, and people didn't realize it until they could actually do it themselves and see how it works and utilize it for whatever they need it to. So with social media, am one of those excited people with it. I don't fear it taking my job. And as a sort of trained past writer, as if you will, I didn't see it as a threat. I see it as this is number one, efficiencies. It's going to drive efficiencies, which, to be honest with you, if I have a client, just completely candid, if I have a client at this amount, and I've got 10 hours to work on it a month for a retainer, and now my efficiencies get me to 6 hours, my profit margin just went up. So why wouldn't I utilize that, right? And then the team that I work with, again, now we can take on more clients and help more people because our efficiencies are in place. And that's what AI has been doing for us. Now, on the AI side for social media, what I'm understanding is from some of the research I've been doing and some of the workshops that I'm in, when it comes to things like Instagram, they're going to start putting watermarks behind the pictures if they haven't already done it, that will say it's AI and potentially push, and I say potentially in quotes for anybody just listening, push your posts down. And that is sort of tactical social media, which I can touch on in a second. But when it comes to AI, you don't want to use it and copy and paste. I see that a lot. Of people, and you can tell now when people are copying and pasting from ChatGPT and it just gets plugged up there. There's keywords in there and there's emojis and the way that the vernacular is with ChatGPT, although still quite amazing, when you're copying and pasting, you can see it. And now algorithms are going to start catching it and humans are going to start seeing it. They can see it, they'll scroll through, they know it's not humanistic, relatable content that was built from a human, mindset. So with that, if you do utilize ChatGPT, Genesis, any of the other AI components to kind of help you with your position in social media or the likes of that, I would y use it for brainstorming, use it for outlining, use it for to spark that energy or that creative mind that you might need, because we all get in a creative slump. Even if you're a creative person, you're going to get there. And I tell you, the backbone of that is AI. I can lean on that for any, like, oh man, I really needed that. Let me type in some pain points. Let me type in some things, some outlines that I want to do. And sure enough, it will pop out and it'll like, oh wait. And then I can take that and build on what that just gave me. So again, it's shortening my time, and it's shortening my my pain points with brain drain and content development. So I am a big proponent of it. I absolutely love it. But again, I fear, and I want to educate people and don't use it to copy and paste.
Right. Delena, I feel like we could talk forever. And I think there's a, tr I think, well, I just think that everything, there's so much knowledge you have. There's so much that you have put into the social media study hall. If you had to leave people with one thing, if they, if they listen to this and if you wanted them to leave with one thing to remember you by it and to think about, what would it be?
Don't overthink it on social media and be social on social media. Social media is about community. It's about building a community for your brand. Tips and or tactics and trends and all of those things, different story, different day that we could probably talk about again later. But just be social on social, build a community and be human.
I really enjoyed this. If people want to learn more, if they want to jump on the social media study hall, if they'd like to get more information, what's the best place they can find you and the social media study hall?
So that's on my website, delanabaker.com. And I'm sure in the show notes, people will be able to spell my name because it is a little complicated. And they can connect with me on LinkedIn. Follow me or connect with me on LinkedIn. I love connecting with new people. Again, I'm Delana Baker on LinkedIn. That's my favorite platform to utilize for that as a resource. And I give out all kinds of free information and I'm really real about it. So those are the best places.
Well, I really appreciate you. I've learned a lot in the last 30 minutes. Thank you so much. And I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me.
You know, I really appreciate Delena for coming on and sharing her expertise and sharing what the social media study hall is going to be. I'm not making it up when I say that I'm one of those people who just posts things to push it out there for people to see it, but I'm not incredibly intentional about it, and I really did learn a tremendous amount from listening to her. I think social media is just like any tool that we use, whether it's a hammer or if it's anything else, if it's a computer. If you're a novice at it or if you don't really understand how the tool is supposed to be used, how can you expect to get the most out of the job that you're doing with that tool? So I think it's a little arrogant of us as people to think that we're going to be able to utilize social media effectively unless we actually learn how to use it. And I think that's what she's offering here. So if you're interested, I'll make sure that I post a link to sign up for the social media study hall wherever I post this interview. I'll make sure that you have access to Delena and that you can start a conversation if you're interested. But for right now, that's going to do it. I'll catch you guys next time.